But we're here, and we need to hear God's word today, don't we? So let's continue on through James. We're in James chapter 3 now, okay, verses 1 to 12. Very famous as a passage, as I said, that addresses the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn that whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we can praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, in this new year, we ask that you would lead us. We are here to humble ourselves before your holy word and to let it fill our hearts and our minds, teach us how to use our tongues for your glory, and lead us into this new week that we might be your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So many of us make New Year's resolutions for 2020. What are your spiritual resolutions? What is your vision for this new year? What is our vision for this church? James, a very practical book, helps us by saying some very practical and honest and down-to-earth things. Sometimes we make New Year's resolutions, don't we, to lose weight. That's one of the most common ones there is. Research came out just within the past few weeks on January 10th from the University of Pennsylvania that if you lose weight, particularly in your tongue, you can see remarkable progress in curing sleep apnea. You know what that is? Kind of a difficulty that you have in breathing that can keep you awake at night. One of the most dramatic discoveries they've ever made. Losing weight, particularly in your tongue, can really go a long way to curing sleep apnea. 25% of Americans have a problem in this area. 1 billion people globally. So that raises the question, if I just do some exercises there with my tongue, lose a little weight there, maybe I can do better and get a better night's sleep. It's harder to do because to focus an exercise right on that tongue there is kind of hard to do, but, you know, it opens up the imagination, doesn't it? If we created a tiny little dumbbell and did some curls there with our tongue, could that help us to lose some weight?
Whoa.
What about some tongue push-ups? All right, soldier, give me 100 push-ups on that tongue right now. I need to laugh. Maybe you do too after the week that we've had. If you've got any good ideas, come and share those with me because we could make a lot of money, I think. And at least get famous or something like that if we can come up with some tongue exercises. We want to talk about some spiritual exercises today because I know, setting aside sleep apnea and the weight of our tongues, that our tongues are used in other areas as well, often not for good. So if you want to follow Christ in 2020, and I sure hope that you do, you need to consider one small problem, and that's your tongue. What are you going to do with it in 2020? James in verses 5 and 6, if we can bounce back a slide, says there, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great big boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is set on fire by hell. So before you say that next thing, okay, that pops into your mind, who knows where they come from? From hell, maybe, is according to James here. From the pit of fire. Take a deep breath, count to 10, and maybe ask yourself these three questions that are printed for you there in your bulletin. They are spiritual exercises that I use myself, and I hope they will help you as they help me in a small way. I'm not perfect at all, but these are three things I really think you can ask yourself before speaking. Will my tongue speak love in this moment? Second of all, will my tongue honor its creator? And thirdly, will my tongue participate in God's healing work? Now, those are big, long questions there. If you just want a little keyword, I'll give you three keywords. The first one is love, the second one is beauty, and the third one is healing. Using your tongue for love, for beauty, and for healing. First of all, love. We know about love, right? We're just 2 days shy of Valentine's Day. So we know about love and how our tongue can be used in that area. This is self-evident, I'm sure. You're going to say to me, Pastor, yes, I know I should be a loving person. Pastor, yes, I know this is the foundation of the Christian faith. It's even splashed up on our front wall here. Love God, love one another. Pastor, yes, I know I've read the words of Jesus where he says there is no greater thing than to love one another, where he says the world will know we are Christians by our love. That's in the Bible. We know that. Somehow we've got to get there and use our tongues in a more loving way. And I've got some suggestions for you that are maybe a little bit harder to do than just saying, I love you or something. Why not try out this exercise? I'm sorry. Just saying that, I'm sorry. And letting it go at that, because it seems to me that so often when we say, I'm sorry, we are trying to qualify that and put a little butt on it or something to kind of still make ourselves get above that other person. I'm sorry, but you said this, and that made me upset. I'm sorry, but if you hadn't been such an idiot, I wouldn't have said that. You know, we say I'm sorry, but then wind up qualifying it. Do you have something to say? Okay. We'll remember them in prayer, okay? We love to pray here. We do a lot of prayer here. So try that on. I know that might be a dumbbell that's too hard to lift to say I'm sorry, but it might go a long way just to say I'm sorry. And to leave it at that, just a very simple and honest sorry, not trying to tweak it in any way so that you come out on top above other people. Here are some similar things as well that might also be kind of hard. I'm sorry. How about this one? You're right. You know, just agree with someone that is confronting you, someone with whom you're having some tension, and just say, you're right. You get practice in this every Sunday. We make sure we get practice in this. This is our time of confession, right? Because basically what you do when you confess is go into the presence of God and saying, Lord, you're right. I agree with you. Your word says this. Your law says this. I turn to the other way. I agree with you and I confess my sins before you. So just go to someone else and say, you're right. This one might be a little bit easier too, to say something like this. I wish things had turned out differently. So you own that, you take it upon yourself, and you say, I wish things had not gone the way they did. Now, I'm not trying to say to you that you should bury the feelings you have, you shouldn't have the feelings that you have, or that that argument that you laid out to somebody else was incorrect or wrong. I'm not going there at all. I'm just trying to give you some suggestions for other avenues that might say that you are a person of love, that might accept and affirm your higher calling to be a person of love. You owe it to yourself, to the universe, and to our Lord of love just to ask yourself this question before you speak. So you're taking a deep breath, you count to 10, and then you ask, will my tongue speak love in this moment? Similar thing to ask is, will the ears, hearing my words, hear love out of what I'm sharing? Second exercise, okay? Still taking a deep breath, still counting to 10, and then asking yourself, will my tongue honor its creator? I think James is saying that. We'll get into that in just a moment here. But will my tongue honor its creator? Our God has made this world a beautiful place. He did it again this morning, right? And if we are His people and speaking words out into the community, they've got to share that beauty and that glory with others. Will your words actually share that with other people? We talked about this last week when James made a very bold and dramatic statement. Faith without works is dead, right? So he's digging a little bit deeper here and giving us a whole specific example in talking about something that works very well for many of us. Works very well on its own. Works like the Energizer Bunny, right? Our tongue's just going, going, going. He says, your faith without works is dead. Now let's talk about your tongue, which has been made by the Creator. And we said last week, how could James make such a statement like this, that your faith without works is dead? It is because our God acts. He works in the world. He makes things, and He makes beautiful things. So if we are making things out of our mouth, they need to be beautiful as well. James gets into this in verse 9, where he says there, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. Ah, we're doing that this morning, aren't we? Making a beautiful noise to the Lord. And with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. It is an amazing thing, probably a little bit of humor there too, right? That out of the same mouth could come these two opposite kinds of statements. Out of it, our mouths could come praise to our Lord and cursing of somebody else. But it's that little phrase there that he adds that really should drop us to our knees. We curse human beings, we have experience in that area, right? Who have been made in God's likeness. That's the creation that's coming in there. When you speak, when you address another person, you are addressing someone who has been created by God, who has been made by God. You are speaking to the likeness of your Creator Father Himself. When you talk to another person, you're talking to God. What do we call talking with God? Prayer. So when you talk to another, could we say that? When you talk to somebody else, you are praying to God? I think you could make a case for it. Because you are dressing His representative. Whether they come to church or not, this is from the early chapters of Genesis, and it stands for each man, woman, and child on the face of this planet. They are created in the image of God. And so when you speak to them, you are speaking to God. And that's prayer. Now, I know some of you are very shy about prayer, and I understand that. Some of you would probably not be caught dead praying in public, and I get that. I understand that. But I think we can say that when you are praying in public, be that to the bagger at Hannaford, be that to a librarian, to an elderly person who probably hardly understands what you're saying, if you are speaking to another person, that is a prayer. It is a public prayer. And will it honor the Creator? Will something beautiful come out of it? Third exercise. Okay, so the first one is, will my tongue speak love in this moment? The second one is, will my tongue honor its Creator? The third one, take a deep breath, count to 10, and then ask yourself, will my tongue participate in God's healing work? Did your mom ever say to you, I'll wash your mouth out with soap? Did you hear that? Have you heard that? Okay. I think I heard it as well. Huh? I'm not going to ask if anyone has personal experience in this area, okay? You can keep that for a testimony time sometime later, okay? But, yeah. Do you know anybody that brushes their tongue as well? I understand that that's a thing. Some people do that as well to make the mouth even cleaner. I went online and went to YouTube, and it is a thing. Apparently, they even sell toothbrushes that have the toothbrush on one end and then a tongue scraper or at the other end of it. And so, you do? Okay. All right. Because we want it to be clean, and in the same way James is saying here, we want to be putting clean things out into the world. I've enjoyed this sermon. I've enjoyed preparing for it. It's been fun. I think there's a lot of humor in this passage, and it's just a great text. I love it. Thank you for entertaining me and listening this morning. But what James is saying here is very serious, too. I mean, he says that there's a fire in your body. I want the Holy Spirit fire in me. I want God's fire inside of me. And he's saying, really, you've got the fire of hell right inside of you that can set on fire a whole forest. All it takes is just a little spark. We sing that, don't we? It only takes a spark. We could sing that and twist it into another different way, but we want to start God's fire in the world. And that's what James is talking about here. When you speak, you should be bringing God's healing out into the world. We know this to be the will of our Father. From the very beginning, he said, even to Abraham, through you I want to bless all nations. And I say it to you often, our God is a God of blessing, and that's all he wants for everybody on this planet, is to be blessed. Doesn't mean he just dismisses sin. It doesn't mean that sins have no consequence. But what I'm saying is he wants healing in this world. If you want a big theological word for that, it's redemption. He is moving the world toward that. He's bringing his own son to die for us. That is the ultimate goal. And will your words take us down that path? The prophet Habakkuk in 2:14 says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters over the sea. And the psalmist, in describing our spiritual pilgrimage, which is what we're on in 2020, right? Psalm 84 says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Let's go on a pilgrimage in 2020, right? As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover with pools. They go from strength to strength until each appears before God in Zion. So you have this image of God's people going out into the world and they're making pools of fresh water bubble up in the desert. Will your tongue be bringing fresh, wonderful water to the world, as it mentions there in verse 12. So we talk about kingdom deeds here at First Baptist Church. Your tongue can be an instrument of kingdom deeds, of doing something good for God. As you speak, will you be taking the world one step closer to the kingdom or three steps back? Put a verse on the back of your bulletins there, which is one of my favorites. I've committed it to memory. Maybe some of you would want to remember it for 2020. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What Paul is saying there in Philippians is so similar to what James is saying here too. Fill your minds, fill your bodies with good stuff that will come out through your mouth. Amen.